Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing.
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. A happy post-Memorial Day Tuesday, sort of the unofficial start to summer in a lot of ways, and I think the weather is certainly timed up with that. We're going to be busy today, as this is a big week in sports. I think we're going to look back on this one way or another, whether or not it has to all get shut down again in the second wave, I don't know. But this looks like perhaps the end of the beginning, to look at it that way. We are going to talk a little bit of basketball, get a reset on the NBA plans with Joe Cowley at 10 o'clock. Then shortly thereafter, we will talk to Michael Russo of The Athletic Minnesota and KFAN. He writes hockey, and he's been in contact with Devin Dubnyk of the Wild. Really, really smart guy and a very important member of the Players Association, one of the more significant executive player reps, who had all sorts of details as to how hockey is trying to come back. The Midday Midway is going to be at 10:40. And then in the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to revisit some of the things that John Lester had to say over the weekend. He was tremendous. And it's just the Lester story, beyond just what he's saying, the story of John Lester and his role on this team this year, where he is in his contract, what he has meant as a Cub. There's a lot of layers to what's going on with him. And he was on the station over the weekend, and I think it's really important to get into some of what he said. And then at 11:40, in our little fun 11:40 segment there, we missed a birthday on Friday. So we are going to give a certain 40-year-old his due with an expert who is going to join us at 11:40, and that's all I'll say about that. 312-644-6767, that's the number at WSCR The Score. Email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com. That's where you go to listen to us live. We're streaming at 670thescore.com. Send a text to the text zone at 67011. It is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. When you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Twitter is at Bernstein670. If you want to follow my personal account, you can. I'm at Dan_Bernstein. Also, make sure that you download the radio.com app to stream The Score on your mobile devices. Interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Our executive producer, Jay Zawoski, is back. And the executioner, Ray Diaz, is the man on the board doing what he does. I hope you had a terrific weekend. It was certainly hot, but it was nice to get outside. The weather report improved as everything went along. Maybe you got to play a little bit of golf. I did not. I had a fishing misadventure. I had a long, full day of fishing. I hit some of my spots up and around Lake County and I caught one bass that was like 6 inches long in 5 hours. Because conditions were rough, and I was trying every bait and all my little trick secret spots, and just nothing. But you know what? I realized it was so great just to be outside and alone that when you're cooped up with your family for these many days and these many hours, as I told my son, with all the time we spent golfing, I said, I love you dearly, but there is something to be said about whatever Henry David Thoreau knew he was doing. There, if you get a chance to just go be alone outside for a significant period of time and then drive back with windows open and listening to a great set on XRT with Johnny Mars just killing it, it's a day well spent. So some good mental health time, a little bit of grilling. I hope your weekend was as enjoyable as mine. But here we are embarking on what is going to be, I believe, a relatively newsworthy sports week. I think we're going to be hearing some things as we look at three tracks here. First of all, football is its own thing. Football is apparently there. None of this applies to them. And I just saw the latest on the NFL, just as we're getting to figure out sort of where each of these sports is at the moment. Stephen Ross was on CNBC this morning. He's the owner of the Dolphins. And he said there definitely will be a football season. The real question is, will there be fans in the stadium? He says the Dolphins do expect to have fans in attendance. It's not something he can guarantee will be feasible in 3 months, obviously. So the NFL is just, they're going to do what they're going to do. And apparently they're not really governed by the rules that affect some of these other sports like baseball, hockey, and basketball, which are all orbiting their players' associations and agreements and doctors and scientists. And it's clear that there's information being shared. It's clear that there is some sort of best practices that is going to inform how they do all this. But I don't know if you're like I am, but you always get this sort of tangle of thoughts in your head. We miss sports terribly. We get incredibly excited to hear how things are moving in a certain direction. And then you see those images of people in the Ozarks and people in Florida and all these other places gathered together. And we know it's inevitable that there are going to be some spreading events of some kind. We don't know the truth yet of super spreaders or anything about what we've been reading, but it's that feeling of like, oh yeah, everything's getting better. And then you're thinking, yeah, it's probably kind of not. And we went through it last week, the push and pull that we all have about what we should be doing and what is the right thing to do by everybody involved, all of the tangential workers, all of the primary, secondary, tertiary staffs of people that would be involved in some concept of a bubble that isn't really a bubble. At least the NFL's not even pretending to do a bubble. They're just going to go be who they are, and their NFL-ness is going to overcome the pandemic in this regard somehow, because they absolutely can, because that's just who they are. But other leagues are now, the NBA does cop to the fact that they're talking with Walt Disney World about trying to do something there. So we'll see. And the NHL might have an easier time of it because guys can wear plastic shields over their faces and they can all wear gloves. The problem is the indoor sports may have it a little bit tougher in general than the outdoor sports, just because of what we know with every day that goes by about how this spreads and where some of the dangers lie. And again, we'll get into that with Joe Cowley at 10 o'clock. As we look at how everybody feels about their teams locally, obviously, we had that whole ugly cry a couple of weeks ago over the White Sox, and whatever this season looks like for baseball, and they're talking, and the good news about baseball is that they're quiet. I really think it's important that they're not leaking things through the media, which probably means the first signs of progress, if they are able to keep things quiet and if they are agreeing to not go leak stuff, I think that's entirely good. So I'm cautiously optimistic that baseball might be restoring a little bit of bargaining faith that looked pretty grim over the last couple of weeks. So they're starting to talk. They're starting to move a little bit. And obviously, White Sox fans wanted to come back, and Cubs fans know that this could be it. This was a last dance, a last roundup. Call it whatever you want. That there we knew that whether or not it was the what we thought was an imminent Chris Bryant trade or what is going to happen after this season, this was some kind of last shot. And I think Cubs fans are interested in getting that going. Blackhawks fans. The Hawks look like they would be a part of a playoff of some kind, but there was some data that was gathered over the weekend that absolutely blew my mind. And I can't wait to talk to Cowley at 10 about this, because he's got the latest on some very strange things that are going on with the Bulls. But this is incredible. he put out an unscientific Twitter poll that asked as follows. Would you rather, and the four questions to a Bulls fan, would you rather the Bulls season is done in that whatever resumption there is simply does not involve them? Or would you want them to be part of a play-in? Would you like the season to simply continue as it was? Or would you like to see the Bulls given an opportunity to participate in a 30-team playoff? Now, you talk about self-hating fans. 16% of fans said, oh yeah, put them in a 30-team playoff. 5% said, continue the season. 10% want the Bulls to be part of a play-in. Which leaves, if you are doing math along with me here, 69% of people who claim to be Bulls fans would prefer that this season simply be done. And can I tell you something? I'm with them. Count me in. The idea of some kind of zombie Bulls season rising from the dead, like the hand shooting up through the earth at the end of Carrie, where there was, or the homage in Kill Bill. Ugh, no thank you. Whatever this was, please let it be gone and done. And that seems to be a sentiment in large part based on what has happened since. In large part having to do with the fact that we're getting this feeling of novelty, of an awareness that something new and different and special is happening, that Michael Reinsdorf says, yes, whatever we're doing, whatever this is, we have to stop and we have to do something different. So I'm hiring Arturis Karnišovas, who's going to hire Mark Eversley, and they're going to hire other front office people. And the fact that we're getting this idea of something new and different, and then all of a sudden they go, wait a second here, let's go back to how it was. And then as Cowley wrote about the idea of, well, maybe now Jim Boylan can coach for his Bulls coaching life. And my answer is no. And if this regime somehow needs to watch Jim Boylan coach a handful more games to make a decision, then something is horribly wrong. 815 texter says, yes, I'm ready to move on and close this terrible chapter of Bulls history. Yeah, I am too. But here comes sports. With every day that goes by, with every bit of news of another practice facility being open, another gathering of players, another video of some shared workout of some kind, I don't know the extent to which this is actually driven by science and medicine. I can't tell you. It may be driven by greed and impatience as much as anything else. But I'd be lying if I said I don't feel a bit of optimism. And I'm not just talking about the fact that I'm a sports talk show host and compromise, you know, that our content levels have all been tested and compromised, and we're into the strategic content reserves of discussing things. This is our first post-weekend show without a whole Last Dance thing going on with Will Perdue, you know, sitting with me. So I'm just talking as a fan. I watched the golf. I don't know about you. Apparently you did, because across all the platforms, the challenge match between Woods and Mickelson and Brady and Manning was the most watched golf event in cable broadcasting history, which sounds maybe better than it was, than it is, because most major golf events are not on cable. So it's a big deal. And I watched, and I enjoyed it, because it's live sports, and I'm as impatient as anybody else. I want everybody to be healthy, and I don't want to bring sports back and end up killing grandma because of it. But it still feels pretty good to watch people compete. And I think from now on, we're learning mic'd up pro golfers, mic'd up Hall of Fame golfers. Phil Mickelson was tremendous listening to him caddy, him explain why and what, and feeling the wind and how far a ball has to carry. And on the greens, when he was talking about
downwind, downhill, downgrain, and all the things that they take into account. The broadcast was awesome. Justin Thomas was great. Barkley was great. And some of the stuff, not just the trash talking and some of the silliness, but the way they talked about some of it, that made me excited about this week for sports. It made me excited about thinking, okay, if we can be safe enough, if enough governors who are advised by enough doctors can say this is okay to do this and this and this, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't starting to feel it a little bit and get the sense that maybe this is kind of what we needed. I'm the last guy to do the whole sports is bringing us together as a society and celebrates everything that's wonderful, but you know, there's definitely still something there that wants to watch people compete at the highest level because it feels good to do that. It's going to be weird. It's definitely going to be weird. The other thing too is that, and, you know, Jay brought this up in our pre-show meeting, is that when you watch the golf, he compared it to watching Korean baseball that's been on, where I think some of our sports starvation is going to make us better fans and better scouts, because you can watch the KBO and know that that's not Major League Baseball. Maybe it's AA. Maybe it's in between AA and AAA. Who knows? But when your actual sensibility on a routine double play ball is a certain pace and a certain placement of the flip and the turn and how fast things move, and it doesn't quite sync up, it doesn't quite look right, or you see a hanging breaking ball, like, oh, and then the guy fouls it off, you know it's different. You know how it, and you're starting to get that sense of, okay, this ain't the major leagues. Just like when you watch those guys on the golf course. And remember, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are Hall of Fame professional athletes at one of the most difficult positions to play in sports, probably the single most important position in all of professional sports. And you compare them to Hall of Fame all-time golfing greats, not at the peak of their powers, but still close enough. The difference between how good Mickelson and Woods are compared to how good those guys are. And those guys are no slouch. You know, either one, Peyton Manning can kick your ass on the course. Tom Brady's going to kick your ass on the golf course. But to compare them to that, there's an appreciation for just how damn good they are. But I think that this week, by the time we get to the end of our show Friday, we're going to have some better ideas about what's coming back and how it's coming back. And then we'll look at the data from two and a half weeks and after these pool parties in Missouri and the Ozarks and everywhere else. And if we don't have massive spreading events, we might have a little better sense of how things can come back. Because that's the worry. When you get excited, then you start to see people mingling in ways that they're not supposed to. And you wonder where and when and how the setbacks could occur that could absolutely blow this all up. Hope it doesn't happen, but obviously still certainly possible. Bob Nightingale was on the station yesterday, the USA Today baseball columnist, and he has a ton of information about where baseball stands in their negotiations right now, what the holdups may be, what's possible and what's probable, the where's and when's of all the information about the return of MLB. We'll get that from him. That's coming up next on The Score.
I think that it's our job to make sure that we do our best to negotiate behind closed doors, to work and come to an agreement and then present that to the fans, to everyone. And as soon as we receive some of these proposals that have been said that they're coming, we'll do our diligence to make sure that we put our work in and get the best product out on the field.
That was Ian Happ on the show last week. He'll be joining us again on Thursday from the compound in Arizona. By then, maybe we'll have a little bit better understanding of how baseball's coming back. This segment is brought to you by DuckDuckGo Privacy. Tired of being tracked online? DuckDuckGo can help. They help millions of people like you take control of their personal information online. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. DuckDuckGo Privacy Simplified. We have a poll question that is up at Bernstein Show. At Bernstein 670 is the actual Twitter handle. At Bernstein 670. And we've phrased it thusly. Which of these sports trying to restart their seasons do you most want to see? We know the NFL isn't really restarting. They just kind of never left. They're pretending everything's fine and nothing's going to happen. So leaving them out of this for now, it's restarting. Baseball, basketball, or hockey, any of the sports that actually shut down. We've had 360 votes so far, and right now 72% of you say baseball. That's a big number. 19% basketball, 9% say hockey. We'll continue to update that. If you want to vote, just get on Twitter and vote at Bernstein670. Bob Nightingale joined the Score's Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer yesterday. He is the Radio.com sports insider and baseball insider. And he, among other things, expressed confidence that there's going to be a 2020 baseball season.
Both sides want to play so badly, Zach. I mean, now that the health thing, you know, looks like that's going to be cleared up. Yeah, there'll be some modifications to that plan. States are opening up. You know, you just heard Governor Cuomo in New York say, hey, instead of you guys going to Florida for spring training, why don't you have it right here at Yankee Stadium in Citi Field? So just, you know, players are working out down here in Phoenix right now at the spring training complex. And so all that needs to be worked out now is the financial thing. And they'll get that done.
Bobby, first of all, thanks for coming on with us. You and I have been friends a long time. And for our listeners at the Score, you know, they've heard you on our station over and over. Folks, if you want to know what's going on in our game, for every broadcaster, every guy, everybody, first thing in the morning when you read about baseball, Bob's one of the first things you want to click on to know what's going on in our game. So, Bobby, we appreciate you coming on because you are as informed. Even when I was playing, I would send you a message and go, what the heck's going on with our league here, Bobby? And you have more info than me, and I was a damn player. And I wasn't always real happy about that, Z, but it is what it is. You know, so, Bobby, right? I mean, you know, we've been friends a long time, but when you look at the safety issue, you just said, and Zach and I kind of said this right before you went on, we feel like, and I do, the financial side will get done. It's not easy, but they'll figure it out. Eventually that will get figured out. What are some of the keys that you see that you've heard on the health side of the testing that are vital to making sure that the guys can get back? What have you heard from some of the players?
Well, I think they think it's some of the stuff's a little extreme. Like, hey, it's going to be okay to take showers at the ballpark. You can jump in a whirlpool or a hydrotherapy pool, you know, at the ballpark before and after games. You know, and even at a hotel, you know, if your family's with you on the road, you know, I think it's okay to, you know, jump in the swimming pool, something like that, or even go to restaurants. You know, I think it's asking a little, you know, too much to say, hey, everybody else, and you know, when you're traveling, say you go to Scottsdale, everybody else can go to the restaurants and have a steak dinner, but you can't. So you can't stop that. You just got to be smart about it.
We're visiting with USA Today MLB columnist Bob Nightingale. I'm curious, did you ever break news to Coom about Coom during his playing days?
Probably told me when I was getting released.
Did he really?
No, he did not. He probably could have, though.
We had too much of a good time to worry about that stuff.
But I do, getting back to the safety issue, this is an important week, not just in terms of the safety protocols and making sure both sides are on the same page of that, but, you know, time's becoming an issue as well if you want to start the season around July 4th. And get some spring training in at some point during June. Don't you have to find a way to essentially reach an agreement this week, Major League Baseball owners and players, in order to have the kind of season that they'd like to have going forward?
I think, Zach, more like 2 weeks. I mean, they're not going to see the talk about the proposal or even see it until Tuesday. You know, the union won't. So, you know, you're not going to get things done that quickly. Remember when they had that agreement March 26th to give the players service time and, you know, guaranteed money for the first 2 months of the season? You know, that took 2 weeks. So I figure it's got to take about 2 weeks. And then, you know, hey, it doesn't start by July 4th weekend. You know, it can still start mid-July. They just push the season back a little bit. You know, they have to play regular season games through mid-October, that sort of thing. So I don't think there's a real deadline, but the longer, longer it takes to negotiate, the less money for everybody. And the players get paid by the games.
Yeah, everything that I've heard, Bobby, and to your point of pushing the deadline, it does make sense if you have to. You know, that July 4th weekend, I really feel like baseball would really, they really want to get the games on the field for that weekend. I think it'd be great for our country just to have baseball being played and being listened to and seen for that weekend because of what it is for our country. But at the end of the day, you want to get this thing right, and you want everybody to be happy, and you want it to be healthy. So you're probably right that there could be pushed back by a week or so with the negotiation. I got a question for you, though. When you talk a lot to the general managers and to the managers of our league, when they talk about strategies of our game, say we get back, and it is, what are some of their big concerns about how our game's going to be played with half the amount of games that we normally have? I've had my own thoughts on it, but I'm not managing a game, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think the relievers, the middle relievers will be, you know, really big for teams, particularly at the get-go, because starters are probably going to want to go, you know, 4 innings, 5 innings tops. And, hey, these games, you know, if you play 82 games, these games are going to mean twice as much. So more of a sense of urgency. You know, the GMs and managers say, you know, every year you talk about how important health is, but now more so than ever. It might be the team that's the healthiest, it's a World Series champion. You know, also, you know, with the short season, anything can happen. You know, these teams that had no chance, they can be very dangerous. Remember last year in the NL Central at the All-Star break, the Pirates were only half a game behind the Cardinals.
Right.
The Washington Nationals were dead and buried. And so funny things can happen in half a season.
Talking with USA Today baseball man Bob Nightingale here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I liked how you spoke to agents about some of the creative ways that baseball can go about trying to reach an agreement between the owners and players. Can you share some of the things that might be discussed behind closed doors?
Yeah, I mean, one idea was from Barry Axelrod, you know, the veteran agent who had represented Mark Grace and Biggio, Bagwell, Sutcliffe. His thing was, hey, go ahead and start talking. If you can't get an agreement, say, the first week, let's have an arbitrators do it. You know, each side picks one arbitrator. Then the league, you know, then there's a third one, and they decide how much the players will be being paid for the short season, and do it. And that way, you know, you worry about the money later. So the guys will still get paid something right now, and then you know, as when the arbitrators finally decide as far as what money is owed, you know, the players get paid, you know, later in the season or you know in the off season. But you know, don't waste time arguing over this now. Let's try to get something done quickly.
It's a great point. And what it does is it assures the public, which I think is the most important, that the owners and the players have our game and the viewing public, our fans, in the best interest of them. I just really feel like that might be the best way of going about this, to where, you know, nobody feels like they won or lost. The money gets put where it's supposed to get put, and it's settled that way. But I really think the fans would feel great about the owners and the players saying, we're going to play and we'll figure it out as we go. It's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, and then they'll have more confidence, too, for the next collecting bargaining agreement, you know, which expires December 1st of 2021, that they can play. But if for some reason they could not reach an agreement financially, even though health-wise it's safe, you know, the governments are saying, you know, come play baseball. I think baseball set back baseball decades. I think it'd be much worse than the canceling the 94 World Series.
Yeah, especially in this climate. Bob, have you heard from any players who might have some vulnerable conditions that may decide, you know what, even with the safety protocols, it might be my best interest to sit out this season?
You know, I have not. And there's guys, you know, that do have conditions, you know, some not making them public. But, you know, there's a Rockies player that doesn't have a spleen, that sort of thing. There's guys with diabetes, certainly cancer survivors. But I haven't heard from a single player on that. The only concern I've heard is more if they're members of their family, such as, you know, Doolittle of Washington with his wife being asthmatic. And certainly got players like Mike Trout, you know, who's his wife is due with her first baby in August. You know, I think there's a fear there, like, you know, what happens if I bring something home like that? So there's a genuine concern. And that's why I think, hey, if someone has a trouble with it, they certainly should have the right not to play. You know, maybe you don't get paid, but you certainly have the right to sit this one out.
Boy, you talk about changing the way the game would be played and viewed and teams. Could you imagine Joe Maddon and the Angels, and all of a sudden Mike Trout decides he can't play or he won't play? Well, you talk about a game changer for the 2020 season. Ooh.
Yeah. And, you know, there'd have to be some kind of circumstances because, you know, Ron, but playing is that, you know, you got to get the acceptance from all your teammates, too. You got to have them understand without being considered, you know, a pariah sort of thing. So, yeah, it would have to be a, you know, at least embraced and supported, you know, by your own teammates if you decide you're not going to play this year.
Bob Nightingale, Radio.com MLB insider on the Score yesterday with Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer. Interesting stuff, but optimistic stuff. Painting a picture of a little more agreeable climate than we had understood it to be based on the public saber-rattling that we'd heard in the media. And I do think, in general, that the less we hear from the usual suspects, by those I mean Nightingale himself, Jeff Passan of ESPN, and Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich of the Athletic, the less we hear from those regular conduits is usually an indication that there is progress being made. Now, our poll has taken an interesting turn, and this is rare because now we've had about double the votes since we last checked. The poll at Bernstein 670, which of these sports trying to restart their seasons do you most want to see? When you usually get out of the gate a number of like 72%, that generally that mitigates that as the votes come in and as the sample size gets bigger, it generally will pull back down a bit. It hasn't. It's up to 74% now with 657 votes tallied. 74% of respondents want baseball back. 16% say basketball. 10% say hockey. We spent a lot of time decrying the problems with baseball and how old the average fan is and what's happening with the inability to watch entire games, with maybe younger fans not gravitating to it as much, the game not being passed down. You're not sitting there with grandpa on the scorecard for 3.5 hours teaching you how to score the game. But you know what? I think absence makes the heart grow fonder. I think you take away a game like that, and especially now when we start talking about comfort foods, and say what you want about your sourdough bread and your Stouffer's mac and cheese and Chef Boyardee and everything else that feels good, that I think this is one of these cases where baseball is a comfort food and people are realizing just how it feels to not have it and how important it is to have it. Joe Cowley is going to join us at 10. I want to get more into this Bulls psychology because we had a lot of texts coming in when I was reading the results of his poll that 70% of Bulls fans want this team to be done and gone and the 2019-2020 Bulls to not come back as some zombified form of itself. There's so many metaphors here. But I'm imagining, what is it, the cat from Pet Sematary? That's kind of what this would be like. The Bulls season was over. And then they buried it on the, is it Mi'kmaq? Is that the name of the Native American tribe? I'm almost, it's been forever since I've read that book.
and I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I believe it was the Mi'kmaq tribe that had the pet cemetery where you could bury it there and it would come back to life, but it was sort of this like weird, not quite version of itself, and nobody wants to see that Bulls team like zombie Jim Boylan calling timeouts so he can eat brains. Well, maybe it would help. Maybe you could process them and actually use them and develop them. I don't know. But the psychology of the Bulls fan right now is fascinating. We can talk about that ahead of Joe Cowley. I'm Dan Bernstein. 312-644-6767 if you want to jump in on this muggy Tuesday in Chicago on The Score.
I'm not worried about my personal record or my win-loss record. I've been asked to establish a style of play, to have a disciplined approach, and develop a young group of guys. And in my opinion, we are doing that. Nobody in this organization said to me, you got to win this many games. Nobody said to me, hey, we're going to talk about wins and losses all year. Not one time have they said that to me. That doesn't mean we don't want to win, Joe. It doesn't mean we're not trying to win. But nobody said that to me.
Would you be bothered then if at the end of the season they come back to you and say, hey, Jim, we just didn't have enough wins, so we have to do something? I mean, if they come double back and use that against you, would that be surprising to you since that hasn't been emphasized?
Yes, it would. I don't foresee that happening.
Wow. That was back in February. Jim Boylan referencing Joe there. That Joe is going to join us in a few moments to get the latest on what's going on with the potential resumption of some kind of 2020 NBA season and what it would mean. Is it a play-in tournament? Are all teams invited to Walt Disney World? Is it going to just be the playoffs and pick it up right there? Or are they going to just kind of have a five-game finish of the regular season? Either way, look, let's call this what it is. There is no way the Chicago Bulls are closer to winning a championship of any kind if they resume anything with more Jim Boylan. This is what I don't get. How can Arturis Karnišević and Mark Eversley think that somehow any continued involvement of this guy is in the best interest of the team? They've heard it from the players. They've had all their meetings. They know. And they just know, because everybody knows. It really isn't a secret. I'm baffled by this idea that somehow, well, he's still the coach, and it really, you know, can't hurt to bring him back. There's no good to be had by having more exposure to Jim Boylan. All you're doing is delaying the inevitable, whatever this resumption is. Even if you name Chris Fleming interim, or somebody, whoever it is on the bench. I know Fleming may be the guy that they want to keep because he's got a history with Karnišević overseas from all the successful stint that he had coaching in Germany for a long time. You are so much better off doing something fresh. It doesn't have to be the next guy. It doesn't have to be Adrian Griffin or Ime Udoka or whoever it's going to be. But what kind of message are you sending? And just what kind of feeling, what kind of tone are you setting for your team? If you kind of resume this season, it's like, oh, yeah, and Jim, you know, still here, heart and spirit and soul and developing guys. And that's just bullcrap, too. That whole comment, I was here to develop guys and do things with consistency or however he put it. They said they were going to make the playoffs this year. Their expectations were they were going to compete, that this roster was ready to compete. And he said, well, they didn't tell me about winning games. Like, they can't be mad at me for not winning games. I'm not supposed to win games. Come on. That's not fair. I mean, seriously? It's one of the two things are possible. Either he actually thinks that, which I'm not ruling out, or that's just a cynical way of moving the goalpost publicly and saying it's really not about that. I'm here to develop Adam Mokoka, and that's my job. Come on, man. This has got to be over. Whatever happens with the Bulls season, whatever, and this is, if that's part of the reason why 70% of respondents to that poll said that they don't want to see this anymore, if that's part of the reason, I get it. Because I would be interested if Arturis Karnišević said, hey, all right, Jim, thank you. That's enough. And now, Chris, show me what you got. And you shepherd this team to the end of whatever it is, and then we're going to see where we're going here. But how do you send that message to Lauri Markkanen and to Zach LaVine from jump. When you've come in and taken this thing over and you're pledging that you're going to deliberately and carefully and professionally look over every aspect of the organization, including down to firing the trainer. If you know you need a new trainer and you're ready to move on right there, that Jeff Tanaka, a contract up, okay, you're done. We're going to make that move. If you know for sure that the season could resume and you need a new trainer, how could you possibly bring back somebody who is as overmatched as a coach when that position is so much more important? And the way you start out with a young core of players matters so much. What are you telling them after what you've been hearing? And that's why some of this stuff is just crazy to me. This is an email from Glenn who says, having the Bulls come back is like the scenario in The Monkey's Paw with the zombified dead son knocking on the door to be let in, and you use your last wish to make him go away. Yeah, whatever one you want to use, however you want to do this, however you want to phrase this zombie boiling and zombie Bulls. And actually, our friend, the texter from the 515, says, I like the idea of zombie boiling. He has a great heart, a pure spirit, a great basketball soul, and delicious brain. Yeah, it's crazy. 224 says, what's taking so long to fire Boylan then? They keep saying Boylan is in charge of these moves. Nah, this is, I will be really dismayed. I will be extremely dismayed if this new brain trust in any way thinks it is somehow good to keep Jim Boylan around. If you don't know enough to know that you've got to move on, if you don't know enough to have realized from what you've seen the past 2 years, if you can't figure it out, then the Bulls hired the wrong people. I'm going to be really genuinely pissed off if the season resumes and this guy is still there. Because every day that he's there is a day that you're not getting closer to winning anything. Every day that he's there is another day that important players are confused and unhappy. They have to know that. They have to understand that. 312-644-6767 is the number at WSCR, the score. And that's why, I guess, when you see that 70% of Bulls fans responding to that poll say, yeah, just be done with it. Be done with it. Move on. It just, we got to fall in love with this idea of change. And we got to fall in love with what turned out to be looks like one really good hire after another. When they're starting to remake this team in a different image and starting to understand a little bit how it's time to get some fresh air and to spend money and to modernize everything that's going on. So for them to now say, yeah, well, this guy can still coach because he's here. Well, you had an opportunity to keep the trainer around and you didn't want to do that because apparently that's significant. But this guy, come on now, come on. An update to our poll at Bernstein 670, which of these sports trying to restart their seasons do you most want to see? Still, now with 831 votes, 75% of you say baseball, 16% of you say basketball, and 9% of you say hockey. I'm wondering if the hockey thing is a function of just overall fandom of the sport, or if it is this particular Blackhawks team and sort of the in-betweenness of this team. Hell, think about their situation too, where they don't even know who's running the organization right now. Is Danny Wirtz to be the guy in charge of however this comes back and whatever it looks like? And is anything at stake? I would hope that something as strange as unprecedented. And by the way, I am thinking there've been so many wonderful journalists laid off from their jobs. If we got together and started a new online news service called the Unprecedented Times, could we find a way, get some backers and hire all these journalists up and have a new news outlet here just called Unprecedented Times, or maybe Uncertain Times, and that'll be our new newspaper. But I'm wondering now, if we all this talk about the Bulls, we're going to get into more of it with Joe Cowley here, maybe Jay can help out, of if the Blackhawks come back and if they get this figured out, we'll have more on that at 10:20, if they get this figured out, are they saying that anything is at stake in their performance?
As far as like coaching and GM firings and hirings,
yeah,
and those sort of things?
That's what I'm wondering. Like, does this mean anything?
they're literally saying nothing. And we're talking about this poll we're running, and only 10% of people want hockey back. That just shows you how on the back burner hockey is. John McDonough was fired a month ago, and no one has spoken about it. No one has said a word. Rocky Wirtz has not met the media in any way, shape, or form yet, and has not commented about one of the biggest moves you can make in a franchise. If Ted Phillips was fired, or Crane Kenny or Theo Epstein were fired, you can bet the people in charge of those teams would be speaking up immediately. So no one knows. I know Pat Boyle reported last week that the search for a new president could take up to 6 months, could go into next season. So no one with the organization is talking in any way, shape, or form because nobody knows. Nobody knows what's happening there. I think if you asked Stan Bowman, what is your status? And he honestly answered you, he probably wouldn't know. So it's really bizarre. It's a weird situation. And the Hawks are sort of lucky that they're so far on the back burner for a lot of people because, like I said, had this been the Bears, Sox, Cubs, Bulls, whoever, there'd be a demand for Reinsdorf or McCaskey to speak. There's been no demand for Rocky Wirtz to speak, and it's crazy. It's crazy they've gone this far without having to answer.
Let me ask a procedural question then, because I don't know what the relationship is with the media office at this point. If you, as a beat guy, like, do you call every day? I mean, I know that when I was covering the Bears or the Bulls, if something like this was going on, I would make a point of formally requesting some sort of access on this story literally every day, because it's just amazing that they're able to get away with not saying anything.
I don't know. I've never officially worked on a beat. I would think that would be my approach. But at the same time, I don't know if the PR people that I deal with on a regular basis with the team are still employed or if they're furloughed or what. I don't know anything.
Right.
And the people I've reached out to in the organization, the people that are responsive 10, 20 seconds after I send a text have not responded. And they're from all different parts of the organization. It's really strange. There's a weird feel about everything. And I think just everyone is so unsure and everyone is so on eggshells about what's going to happen next that nobody wants to speak. And I don't know if the beat guys even know who to reach out to at this point. That's the crazy thing.
Wow. That's incredible. I mean, at least, you know, it makes the Bulls look that much better in that regard when Michael Reinsdorf has been available and they've had these long Zoom calls with every hire that they've made. And there's Karnišević. Not only does he do the Zoom press conference and then he's on various radio stations, including ours. Same goes for Mark Eversley, that they sort of put it out there. And that's why it makes this attenuated approach to their team even more troubling because of how they've handled it. Joe Cowley has the latest on the Bulls, and he's going to be joining us in just a second to tell us all about how this is going to work, where we are in this possible NBA return, and what the permutations are going to be for them. So he's always full of information and joy and happiness, and his general approach to life will just be infectious and make you a better and happier person. I might be lying about that, but he's coming up next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.